was born into an observant Jewish home in Vienna in 1927. His father worked for the Jewish community. His mother was a seamstress. In March 1938, German troops swept into Austria, and overnight, it was subsumed into the Third Reich. Leo and other Jewish children were thrown out of school in May of that year. The Lister family was stripped of almost everything they owned, and in September 1942, they were sent to the Theresienstadt ghetto. Leo Lister was interviewed for Centropa by Tanya Eckstein in 2010 in Tel Aviv and in Vienna.
My father, my mother, and I were in Theresienstadt for 24 months. The enormous deportations to the east, as they called it, took place in September and October 1944. They really were clearing out the ghetto. My name and my father's were on a list for the 27th of September, along with thousands of others. My mother stayed behind, so I had no idea what would happen to her. They transported us in these awful cattle cars, and after 2 days, they slid open those doors, and the SS screamed at us to get out. We stood in front of them, and they asked what we did. Even though I was just 17, I told them I was an electrician, so I was sent off in one direction. I looked back to see my father, who was already very sick, and he was heading in the other direction. I never saw him again. Later that day, there in Birkenau, they began firing up the crematoria. The gas chambers had done their work. Just a few days later, I was sent with others to the town of Gleiwitz to repair railroad cars. After a few weeks there, as the Soviet army was approaching, they sent us on a death march. Autumn had turned to winter, and we had no warm clothes and only the thinnest of shoes. Those who fell by the wayside or even just paused, they took a bullet from a rifle or even a pistol. We stopped marching when we came to a camp called Blechmama. That's where we worked, also repairing rail cars. For weeks we worked on them, and those weeks turned into months. But we had no idea of what was going on in the outside world. Then one day, when it started getting warm, the SS locked us in our barracks. They shot at us. They even tried to burn the barracks down. We were there with the Yugoslav soldiers, British soldiers, and Jewish prisoners, all of us starving, frightened, and freezing. But the morning after those shootings, the SS simply weren't there. So I went outside, and I found myself staring at a truck full of Soviet soldiers staring back at me. One soldier slowly started walking up to us, and I stepped out toward him. I didn't know a word of Russian, and all I could think to say was, in Yiddish, Ich bin a Yid, I'm Jewish. He looked at me for a second and then said, Ich bin auch a Yid, I'm also a Jew. And with that, the war's ugliest chapter ended for me. These Soviet soldiers gave us clothes and food, and they put us in trucks and brought us to Krakow, where their Red Cross nursed us back to health. I can honestly say, from March 1938 until the spring of 1945, the only men in uniform I had met were Austrians and Germans. And they were monsters. These Soviet soldiers, they were Ukrainians, Russians, Belarusians, even young men from Central Asia. They treated us like, well, as if we were human beings. They nursed us back to health over the course of what must have been weeks. And it was at the beginning of May, one of their officers said to us, The war is over. You can go where you want. My friends and I, there were a few of us, took one train after another. Each of us had a home to go to. We had our families to look for. I absolutely had to go back to Theresienstadt in hopes of finding my mother. When I got there, the ghetto had just been liberated by the Soviets, and no sooner had I walked into the ghetto than an old friend of mine saw me on the street. He hugged me, told me how glad to know I was alive, and then he asked, "Leo, have you already been to see your mother?" You can imagine how I ran through the ghetto, climbed up the stairs in one of the barracks, and there I found her sitting on the edge of a bed. We hugged each other, we cried, and she asked, "But where's your father, Leo?" I just shook my head. "Well then," she said, "God brought you to me." About going back to Vienna, what can I say? Of course, we didn't want to go back. Not then, not ever. As we entered the city, it was shocking to see how badly Vienna had been bombed. This great city was now a giant ruin. But I had to try and get back some of the things taken from us, because we were quite literally penniless. Our neighbors didn't give us back a thing. Nothing. So, like hundreds of thousands of Jews from all over Europe, the ones they didn't kill, I traveled with my mother to what they called displaced persons camps in the US occupation zones of Germany and Austria. We went to a DP camp in the German town of Deggendorf. It's where I got my first job not working in forced labor for Nazis. It was for an organization called the Joint, and the idea was, help other people. God, how I liked that. And I didn't know that at the age of 18, it's what I would do for the rest of my life. In 1948, we left Europe for Israel. I married Shoshana in 1955, and we had two children. The past never really does go away. And once, it was in the early 1970s, I remember getting on a bus in Tel Aviv. The driver wore short sleeves, and I could see the Auschwitz tattoo number on his arm. But then I looked at his face, and I said, "Refish?" He said, "Leo?" We'd been together in Auschwitz. And that chance meeting restarted our friendship, even though Refish moved to England soon after. We still met whenever he was in Israel, always with pictures of children and grandchildren to share.
Leo Lister later began working for the Austrian embassy and became involved in social clubs for Austrian Jews living in Israel. He was given some of the highest awards the Austrian state could confer on its citizens, and Leo spoke with school groups in Israel and Austria until 2015, 2 years before he passed away.